Watson, the floor is yours.
Cough here for a minute. Thank you very much, and it's a blessing to be here. And I have a message today that about the first miracle of Jesus. But I want to say I listened to someone just a few minutes ago, and I want to start off with a funny note here. There was a lady sitting in her house, very judgmental of her neighbor, and she says to her husband, "That woman doesn't know how to do her laundry. Look how dingy her clothes are." A couple later, she said the same thing. And then about another week later, she says, "Oh, she learned how to wash her clothes. They're all white and pretty." The husband spoke up and said, "No, I got up early and washed the window. And the window was dirty." So, yeah, I thought it was kind of cute, because then we look out our windows sometimes. Our windows are dirty when we see other people. We have to make sure our windows are clean and our thoughts are good, and that we don't fall into judgment of other people. I got that for that. But anyway, in the Bible days, the weddings were 7 days long. And Lord, help us today in this message. Let it go through, Lord, the way you want it to go through, not the way Louise wants it, but the way you want it, Lord, because it's you that are important, and your ways will be continued to all of us. Amen. Okay. And they were 7 days long. Can you imagine a wedding 7 days? We have a wedding, and within 2 hours, you're ready to leave. Some people show up, you don't even want to see. And here they have weddings 7 days long. The bride and groom married, and a beautiful time and lots of family and guests. Let me tell you about a wedding that happened in Cana by Galilee and about a special guest who attended. John describes it well. Jesus Christ and his disciples were invited along with his mother Mary. Like a lot of times, Jesus was at the right place. He knew what was about to take place, but others didn't. It's always neat when you walk in a room and someone said, "I was thinking about you," and something good happens because you were at the right place to receive a small, ordinary miracle, or something you were in need of and no one else knew it. Or maybe you were the one to give the miracle out by saying something and that person said, "I was just thinking that." How? You know, it's beautiful. God works with us being in the right place at the right time. I'm always one for being there, whether it's for you or it's for someone else. You think of all the people being in the right place at the right time. Little short Zacchaeus was in the right place at the right time. The lady at the well. The man with leprosy that stumbled upon an empty camp and got all the riches. So many others that were involved with small miracles by being at the right place at the right time. John 2:11, we're going to ask Yvette to read this right now, and I'll come back after she finishes.
On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water, that was made wine, and did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. And he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now. This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him.
Thank you. A wedding. Somehow they ran out of wine. And this is only the third bout. I'm going to have to do something here because I have the opinion all the time that, so I read it right here, and the third day there was a marriage. I always thought Jesus was on the third day of the wedding, but I'm going to clarify that the Bible says, and the third day there was a marriage. And so I'm going to clarify that part there that I mistook and thought it was on the third day they came, but they were at the beginning too, I'm sure. Can you just imagine being one of the kitchen staff that day of the wedding celebration, knowing that the wine supply had gone dry? Oh, my master is going to have our heads for not having enough wine in the house. The celebration is only beginning, and we have 7 days already. We're out of wine. Mary, Jesus, and the disciples were invited to the wedding celebration. Mary knew about the wine shortage. She said to Jesus, they have no more wine. Jesus asked his mother, why are you telling me this, woman? My time hasn't come yet. And Mary tells servants, do whatever Jesus tells you to do. She knew who he was and what he was able to do. There's no recording of him from the time the wise men showed up till he was 13, then no more until he was 30. I can only imagine what his childhood was like. Mary had seen him grow up. And anybody raised children, you know the things children do and unexpected that come up with raising children. She knew who he was and what he was capable of doing. And the kitchen help had no idea of what they were about to witness or who was sitting by the kitchen. Jesus told them to fill the wine tubs they had just purified with water. He filled them, probably thinking what their master would do to them when what they would do to him when they would drink the water, thinking he was getting wine. We are in dangerous trouble here. But we will do what Jesus says to do as Mary asks us to follow his directions. He then tells them, draw some out and take it to the master of the house. The servants did, probably thinking all the way while they're going, I'm going to be in employment line tomorrow if he drinks this water. But they didn't know who it was sitting at the party. They didn't know the power this Jesus had and that he did turn the water into wine. I could picture the relief of their faces when the master's friend said, it is good wine. Most people serve the best wine first, but you saved the best for last. Jesus tells us our ladder is greater than our could imagine. Jesus tells us our ladder is greater than our former. I can only imagine the relief they had when they heard that. They thought it was water, but was in a hurry to run back to the kitchen to taste it for themselves. Found it was wine. Not just wine, best wine anyone had ever tasted. Jesus' first miracle, just a simple miracle. Kitchen servants were at the right place at the right time to witness this event. And as always, Jesus was at the right place and the right time to help the master of the house out of a wine shortage. Wonder if one of the servants prayed to God, what are we going to do, Lord? How many times do we throw up that prayer to God? Now what are we going to do? You haven't brought me this far, Lord, to dump me, my favorite. I said that so often. Lord, you haven't brought me this far just to dump me. Now, what's going to be happening here? I may not know what the outcome is, but you know, Lord, I'm just going to sit here and wait and see what you're going to do now. What was the last request you made to God? Something small and ordinary? Have you ever caught yourself apologizing to God for your request? Saying, I know you might not care about this. I know this don't really matter. In the grand scheme of things. I know this seems like a silly request, but how do we do this? Why are we so hesitant to pray for the small things in life? Maybe it's how we view God. Some see him as holy and distant. Some love what happens on earth. I personally view him near and present in my everyday happening. Some don't have that knowledge that he is here with us 24/7. That means every second of every day. There is no time in God. John opens his gospel with a statement. In the beginning was the Word. Note, the Word starts with a capital M, meaning a name of someone or something. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. John tells us the Word is Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, full of truth, and he became flesh and made a dwelling among us. Jesus was God in the flesh. Once Jesus ascended into heaven, he left us with his Spirit, a guide who lights the air around you everywhere and life. Breathing your lungs is inside of you. So if God is as near as your breath, surely he is aware of your situations, what's happening in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and in your body. He is with you when you are on the mountaintop, and he is with you when you're in the valleys. He is in the ordinary moments of our lives. Question, are we with him? Do we just fly off and take care of everything ourselves? You have life in his name and authority in his name. This is the purpose of the miracles John records. He recounts these signs to stir conviction in this promise. You are never alone. This was one of the final promises of Christ. I am with you always till the end of the age, Matthew 28:20. This meant everything to John as he became aged, serving a church in Ephesus, his hair silver, skin wrinkled, and the last of the original disciples of Christ. The rest are all gone but him, and his days are coming to an end. He takes up one final task. John thought he will tell stories the other Matthew, Mark, and Luke didn't tell, and add more details. He structures his gospel around a cross. You know, John recorded the story just as he did all the others, which means this story can tell us something important about who Jesus was and what that means in our lives today. John wrote down the miracles that he presented in his gospel, not to impress us, but to urge us to believe in his presence of Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we have life, abundant, robust, and resilient life. We find strength beyond our strength. We accomplish tasks beyond our capacity. We see solutions beyond our wisdom. And we realize we are never, never alone. As far as miracles go, bone dry wine vats at a wedding don't even tip the scale. But perhaps this is after the ordinariness of it all. God wants us to come to him with a request in everything, not just the big things of life. Mary didn't worry what the size of her request was too small. She simply connected the problem with the provider. The result was miraculous provision and restoration of what had been lost. Mary's demonstration of faith got Jesus' attention. Not only that, but it changed his agenda. He wasn't planning on doing anything that day except enjoy the wedding. A precise prayer gives Jesus the opportunity to remove all doubt about his love. Your problem becomes his pathway. The challenge you face becomes a canvas on which he can demonstrate his works. And we will end it up with this. I know it's a very long sermon today.
So if God is as near as your own breath, surely he is aware of what's happening in your life and that we did all that. In the opening session, we will look at Jesus' first miracle recorded in John. It happened as a result of an ordinary problem in an ordinary setting and involved ordinary materials. Jesus didn't heal anyone or miraculously feed thousands or even offer any parables or other teachings. Yet John recorded the story just as he did all the others, which means this story can tell us something important about who Jesus was, what that meant for our lives today. So today, find comfort in that Jesus, who was divine, yet altogether ordinary, this man who woke up each day, worked, fished, drank, and walked occasional, turn it into wine. And it's just beautiful that we know Jesus as our Redeemer, died on the cross for us, he went on to heaven, left us the Holy Spirit that was our comforter. And it's just beautiful walking through with Jesus as our partner and know we're never alone. That even the ordinary prayers that we need, little prayers, he listens and he knows our heart and he provides. And we thank you again, TA, for inviting me. And I wish there could be a little more.